Okay, we can stop Pesachim. Or li arbosor, bod kimis achomitz li or haner. So today we want to focus on the Ran. And there are many, many parts of the Ran. I don't know if we'll get to all of them today, but at least two of them, hopefully. The Ran asks a very simple question that you could miss. And that is, what about Bittul? The Mishnah makes no reference of Bittul. In fact, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel and Avdalid Habodek Tzarech Sheyevatel. Why is that a statement of an Amora and not a statement of a Tana? The Mishnah gives you the impression, Orli Arbosor, both give us a Chometz, that's all you need is Bedika. I think it's on Daf Dalet. Yeah, let me just double check. The Gemara Daf Dalet actually is a little bit different. And that's the next paragraph that we want to talk about. The Midaraisa Bibitl Bialma Sagile. Which means that if we take this whole picture together, the mitzvah, the chiyuv, is to do one of two things. This is the Ran's thesis. He could either do bedika, and that would be sufficient, because again, on a Doraisa level, the Mishnah reflects the fact that there's no need to do anything more than bedika. And the Gemara that I mentioned before, I correct myself, is on that Vav Amid Beis. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav HaBodek Tzarech Sheyevatel. So that sounds like it's only a Drabbanan. Midrabbanan, it's not enough to do bedika, you have to also do bittul. Correct? The Mishnah is reflecting the din d'oraisa. That's the Ran's assumption. And the Gemara Daf Dalet Amid Beis that says midoraisa v'bittul ba'al masagile introduces a whole other element that all you need on a Torah level is bittul. So what is it, Rabbosai? I mean, how do we end up here? I mean, we have sort of like a stira, because on the one hand it seems that bedika is enough, and on the other hand it seems like bittul is enough. So the Ran therefore concludes, Elakach he ikran shel dvarim shezesh amar Torah tashbis liyachol iskayim bechem mibeis dvarim. You have two possibilities, each one independently is sufficient. O sheyevato belibo, etc., etc. So bittul is enough. O im lo bittul belibo klal tzarich min haTorah sheyivdok akra b'chol makom shurogel imotzi ba. We must say Sham. The Ivarenu Mina Olam who be beer zeh. Who shenechleku ba mei Ivarenu? Okay, so it's Machlokus Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in the second parak about whether you have to do it through Sreifa or Hashpasas of a Chol Davar. So the Ran postulates that bedika alone would be sufficient on a Torah level. We're going to see later on, this is not for us now, Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, whether bedika on a Torah level is sufficient because it obviates the lav of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, those two lavim, or even more than that, that's a kiyum of mitzvahs tashbisu. Now the Ran is going to question his own thesis. If it's really true that on a Torah level, bedika suffices, well, what about the fact that he may still violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh even if he does bedika? And why is that? What would be the possibility that even if he does bedika, the counter argument against the Ran, he still would violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh? Great, if he finds chametz, so his bedika was not sufficient. I mean, he tried as best as he could, but we're not angels, we're not perfect, and we can't always succeed. Now, the kash is not on a mazed level. I mean, obviously he did the best he could. We're not talking about rashlanut here on his part, you know, that he was laid back about his bedik. He did the best. But nevertheless, he missed it. Maybe there was a kikar b'shmei korah and all of a sudden it fell down. So maybe the Torah should say, let's not rely on Bedika and let's require Bittul in order to guarantee that he doesn't violate Bal Yiro Bayi Matzei in event that there is some chametz in his rishus. The Ran explains why the Rabbanon required Bedika and didn't rely on Bittul, because Bittul is something that's totally b'machshavto shel b'nei Adam, so maybe his machshava won't be a machshavas Bittul, and therefore ro chacham lahachmir shelo yaspik, that it shouldn't be enough to rely on Bittul v'tzrichu b'diku bir shehu maspik amkim in a Torah, which is independent reliable. Now, even though Bedika is reliable min haTorah, the Rabbanon, Omer Rabbi Yudah Merav, instituted Bittul, Abodik Tzorchi Yivatil, and why is that? Because Shema Yimtzach Kakluski Feifa, maybe, like we said, a Gluski Feifa was missed in the Bedika, it fell down Mishmei Korah. So now the Ran asks his Kasha. No, if the Rabbanon were afraid of Shema Yimtzach Gluski Feifa, why shouldn't the Torah itself be afraid of such a possibility? So why do we have a premise that on the Doraisa level, Bedika is enough? Ubahachi sagile. The im shemiyim ta'achr kakuluski yefeifa. And you'll tell me, but maybe later on he'll find a gluski yefeifa. Yivarenu li'alter. The Torah relies on the fact that he'll immediately destroy it. Shema Tomar, this is the part of the rhyme that I want to underline. Lemafreya over ale. Okay, so he finds it on the third day of Pesach. So now he'll destroy it immediately. But what about the first 3 days of Pesach until this point? That's what he means by Lemafreya over ale. And again, I would add one word. Over ale, but what? B'mezid or B'shogig? B'shogig, I mean, he did his Bedika. Letha. Shari Somcha Torah al Chazokos. That's not a place where you usually put chametz, you know, to hang it from the rafters. Because the author of our Mishnah is relying, is presenting the Doraisa. And on a Doraisa level, you've covered all your bases with Bedika. Even if you miss the Gluska, your Feifa, you'll destroy it as soon as you find it. And you're not over Lemafre, because that Torah is some Chalachazok. El Shabbar, Rabbi Yudah Merav, Echidesh, the Omer Abodik Tzorch Shivat, that's already a rabbinic Gzera. Why? Hain the time Hashem Yitzhak Gluska, you have a Daitel Le Pish Rashi, Yishel So Milavara, Vinimsa over Ale. Says the Ran, what does it mean, Vinimsa over Ale, if he doesn't immediately destroy it, if he procrastinates? Klomer Mishas Mitzios of Eilach. The problem is going to be from the moment he finds it and beyond. But we're not talking about a problem of Lemafreya Vol Mikamiyachi, but as far as the first 3 days of Pesach that this Gluska was floating around there in the Shmei Korah, lo, he doesn't violate Bal Yiro Bayi Matzei. Why? Shekvar Yotzi Yidei Chovasa B'Bedika. And the Torah relied on his Bedika. Nimsa. Ata Omer, he summarizes the whole conclusion. And on a Torah level, one or the other is sufficient. But min Rabbanan, you require both. And each one adds something that the other one doesn't have. Because in the case of Bittul without Bedika, you have a problem that maybe the Bittul is not reliable. Because ain't they attend shovels? You know, no one can guarantee that everyone's going to do a sincere Bittul. So you need the Bedika. On the other hand, the Bedika is not reliable because maybe you'll find the Gluski offer and you'll delay destroying it. Then at the end, the last 2.5 lines, he proves his thesis that if you find chametz that you missed during the Bedika, you're not overawed by your Rabbi Matzal Mafreya. The Efshal Afarish Shekol Shabbatak V'lobita V'yakach Matzal Gluski Feifa over Alei L'Mafreya Shim Kain Afilu Bodak, who mechuyim in a Torah levatel. Right, our premise is that the Torah doesn't require Bittul, but relies on Bedika. But if you're going to tell me that he's over Lamafre if he finds it, then for sure the Torah should have required bittul. The came with the rice of bittul amasagi iatamotzi b'dika ubir min haTorah. Since we're saying that on a doraisa level bittul is sufficient, and now you're telling me that the b'dika is unreliable because it still won't cover all his bases. He's still exposed and vulnerable to a violation of Ayi Rabbi Matzah in event that he finds chametz. Because it's Chalama Freya, then he's going to have to do Bittul in order to cover all possibilities. And we know that Bittul itself is sufficient on a Doraisa level. Doraisa Bittul Ba'amasagi Limar Adav Dalet of base. So Nimsa, that Bedika is meaningless. Because at the end of the day, the Torah is requiring Bittul to guarantee that you don't violate Ayi Rabbi Matzah. Once having required Bittul, so drop the Bedika entirely because of the Bittul Ba'amasagi. So if you saw on the Makoros, we quoted the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos that the Achronim raised the question, what does it mean, Somchen al HaChazokas? Somchen al HaChazokas tells me what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do. But it doesn't change reality. You can't change the Mitzvahs. Right, for example, let's say there are 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 trefa butcher shop. So if I find a piece of meat, I can assume it came from the 9 kosher butcher shops. But if in fact it came from the 9 kosher butcher shops, and I went ahead and I ate that meat, so I violated the Isur Achilus Machalos Asuris, albeit Bishogeg, I had every reason to, and every right halakhically to rely on the rove, but Nimsa, this is from the meat. So in most cases, if you do an adequate bedika, the chametz is not going to fall out from the heavens, from the rafters. But if it did, it did. And that's a reality that you can't change. The Torah could be somech on a chazaka, meaning allowing you to go about and putting your front foot forward and behaving the way you have to behave as if you knew. But that's only because it's as if you knew. So you have a reliability on chazakas. But now that we know that the chazaka didn't... So again, if you're talking about a Ptur Gavra, and you want to know whether or not we find you punishable and liable, so we can say the Torah tells you rely on Chazakas. But in event that you violated an Isur, because the Chazaka didn't pan out, it was a case of a mute, and not a case of a rove, it was that unusual, exceptional case, so you have to grant me that in reality you violated the law. Would you say that you're punishable for that? No. Why? Because the Torah relied on Chazaka. But the reality is that you violated the law. So if the Ran's goal is to guarantee through Tashbisa that you did what you had to do, and therefore there's no possibility of violating Valyurov Vayimotzeh, then the Ran leaves us wanting, unsatisfied. We're not convinced that the Ran is right. Because you cannot guarantee that I didn't violate Ayi Rabbi Matzah unless you do Bintel. It's only Bintel that could actually clinch that total guarantee. Without the Bintel, you're always left with a certain element of doubt that maybe you did violate Ayi Rabbi Matzah. Who is going to swear on a stack of Bibles? Who's going to come down and testify to the fact that you didn't violate Ayi Rabbi Matzah? A chazaka? Chazaka means if you have a doubt, so that's what you assume. It's an assumption. But if the reality is otherwise, then you violated the Avera. A man checks the money kashrus, and he didn't do a great job for whatever reason. It was one of those fluky cases where the animal had a secret trefa in it. So you checked out. So you ate the animal. You violated the Issur Trefa, albeit Bishogeg. I'm not going to publicly, tar and feather you for that, but you did violate the Issa. So if the Ran's goal here is to find a modus vivendi, which in Doraisa level he's completely avoided the law of Ayi Rabbi Matzah, then Bedika, which has the human fallacy element to it, or a strange kind of reality element to it, of Kikar v'Shmei Korah, and all of a sudden the Kikar was blown down by the wind, then you haven't guaranteed total protection against Ayi Rabbi Matzah. And yet the Ran insists and even proves that you have not violated Ayi Rabbi Matzah. It's not Lama Freya. So let's leave this Ran on the side for a moment. We'll come back to it. But first, I want to study with you the Rambam, a very, very famous Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatz about the nature of Bal Yerov HaImatz. Bal Yerov HaImatz should be classically a lav she'ein bo, ein bo maisa. And the Rambam starts off on that leg in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, ein oloka mishum lo yirov v'lo yimatzeh. We're talking about a lav she'ein bo maisa. But then the Rambam stipulates, Elim Cain, there are situations in which you do get Malkus for Bal Yerov HaImatzeh. Kana Chametz for Pesach, O Chimtzo. So he takes a dough, and he's Machametz the dough. Or he purchases Chametz for Pesach. Now his Bailus over the Chametz was generated by a Maisa B'Kuv Aseh. Is in those cases, the Rambam says, Loka. When does the rule apply that lav shein bo maisa on Bal Yerov HaImatzeh there is no malchus if he has chametz in his rishus? Who bought pesach v'lo biro? He's totally passive. He nicho b'rishus afal pisha over al shnei lavim ein olokim in atorim v'nei shelo asa bo maisa. So let's understand this. If I own chametz and I leave it in my rishus, in my possession, over Pesach, did I violate two lavim?
Yeah.
Yes. Nobody questions that. Again, you can tell me I don't get malchus, but I violated the lav. So what is the lav then? Let's define it. What is the tsumo shel lav of Bal Yerov HaImatzeh? Is it purchasing chametz? Is it making chametz? I mean, even if I didn't purchase chametz, it's having chametz, right? It's the bailus on the chametz, the ownership of the chametz. Leaving the chametz in my rishus is the violation of the law. In one word, shehiyah. Shehiyah is a passive state. You can create that shehiyah through a maisa. You can bring about the shehiyah through a maisa. But you really haven't changed the law. The law per se always remains the law shein bo maisa. The Rambam, and I think that's what the Shagasari points out, is presenting here a bomb chidush over here, a revolution. That even if the law per se is violated b'shei v'alta, say, if you could bring about that state of being through an asiyah b'kumba, say, you will get malchus. To make it into a chiv malchus, I don't need to change the nature of the lav. But rather, all I have to do is achieve that lav or implement the avera through a maisa. If the maisa brings about the avera salav, then I get malchus. It's almost as if the Rambam is saying that lav shein bo maisa ein lokan is a technicality. It has nothing to do with defining the lav. We're not categorizing lavim. There are lavim which are by definition lav she'esh bo maisa. There are lavim which by definition are lav she'ein bo maisa. If let's say you violated a lav she'ein bo maisa through a maisa, you brought about the averis halav through a maisa, then you get malchus. We just need the maisa to hang, you know, it's like a peg to hang our hat on. This is very difficult for the Shagasari to swallow for two reasons. First of all, based on his Sugin Brachos, so for example, let's say you find you're in the middle of a Shus Aram, you find that the beggar that you put on has Kelayim in. So normally the rule is that Kavod Abrius is Dochalosus of Shabbat Torah B'Shevi Altas. So here he's already wearing the beggar. So the Gemara says, no, post afilu b'shuk. Why? So Sagishari says, and we also mentioned in the past in terms of the Sugyan Makis and in Yivamis, that if you bring about an averis halav through a maisa, then that maisa continues to exist as long as you're not mafkia the maisa, if you don't terminate it and undo it. So even though now I find myself in the shuk and I'm wearing shatnez, I'm wearing kalayim, poshto, Why? Because since I put on the beged, the Maisa Levisha makes the Avera into an Avera Bekumase. However, if, for example, I find myself in the middle of Rosh Hashanah with a beged of Dalit Kanfis that don't have tzitzis on it, then what kicks in is the rule of Kavod Abrias, because that's already Shevi Altas. So Sagasari says, what's the difference between the two? What Maishna, what's the difference between Kilayim and wearing a beged without Dalit Kanfis? So even if you'll assume, says the Shagasar, bless you, that there's an Isar Aseh of wearing a beged of Dalit Kanfis without tzitzis, says the Shagasarye, that's always Shevi Altas. Even though I put on the beged, because there's no Avera in putting on the beged. The Avera is in wearing the beged. Masha'enken in Kalayim, where the Torah says Lo Silbash, so the actual Levisha is the Avera. So you see from the sugya here, according to Shagasari, that the question of Shevi Altas Akumvaseh is not the physical action. It's defining the Avera in abstract terms. If the Avera is defined as Levisha, and the Avera therefore is Bekumvaseh, then post-Afilu Bishuk. If on the other hand the Avera is defined as not having tzitzis, that's a passive state of being, the Levisha per se is not the Avera, therefore it's called Shevi Altase. Even though in both cases, whether it be Kalayim or Beged Shein Bo Tzitzis, there's an identical Maisa Levisha that took place before he went out into the Shuk. But the difference is in the abstract definition of the Avera. In order to prove this point, the Shagasari quotes two other Rambams. One Rambam with regard to the Lav of Lo Yelecha Bekischa, meaning the Lav of Mida Chaser, Mishkal Chaser. That's the Rambam in the 7th Perek of Hilchas Geneva. And the Rambam says, without qualifying, that you don't get Malkus for holding on to these imprecise weights, these faulty weights, kol misha mashe bebeso, o bechanuso mida chasero mishkal chaser over below saseh. And the Rambam says afal pi she'ein ze lokech u'mocher ba, even though he doesn't use it, but the avera is shehia, having it in your rishus. But ain lokin alav ze shrei ein bo maisa. Here we have another example of an avera, the essence of which is shehia. So the Shagasarye asks, but wait a minute, what happens if he purchases these weights? So what happens if he actively changes a perfect, precise weight that makes it imperfect, a chasera? He brings about the avera through a lav. And yet, the Rambam, in a flat, unqualified statement, says, Ein lokin alav zeh. Period. Ein lokin alav zeh. No ifs, ands, or buts. The Rambam doesn't add some sort of clause, but if he did it through a maisa. Why? Sharei ein bo maisa. Meaning the lav itself inherently, as we define it in abstract terms, it's defined as shehiya. Shehiya is a lav, shein bo maisa. Having is not doing. So you see clearly that the Rambam does not maintain the position that if you violate a lav shein bo maisa through a maisa, if the maisa says something avera, you get malchus. Since the maisa is only a means to an end, namely to violate the lav, but the lav itself remains a lav of shehia, which is passive, lein bo maisa, therefore you don't get malchus in all cases. Similarly, we find in the Rambam, in the Lav of Birei Kodes, at the beginning of Hilchas Chagiga, the Rambam says that if somebody comes for Aliyah LeRegel, and he enters into the Azara, and he doesn't have an Ola, he says, Lo Dayo, it's not enough, Shelo Asa Mitzvah Esay, Ela Over Alosa Seshenema Lo Yirah Panay Reka, V'Eino Lokel Lav Seshere Lo Asa Maisa. So the Shagas Ari says, what do you mean, Shalom Asamaisa? He came into the Azara. The Bia Latoch Azara is itself a Maisa. Ella what? He says to the Shagas Ari, you see from this that the Lav is not the Bia. The Torah doesn't say Lo Tovo or Lo Tikareis Lazara, Reikom. But Lo Yeroa Panai Reikom. And it's the Shehiyah being in the Azara without the Karbon, that is the nature of the Lav, the definition of the Lav. The fact that you brought about the Aver Salav through an action, namely Bia, of coming into the Azara, that doesn't change the nature of the Lav. It always remains the Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Bottom line, Rabosai, we have a steer here between the Rambam and Ilchus Chometz Umatz on the one hand, and the Rambam in two places, namely in Ilchus Chagiga with Mida Chasera, and the Rambam in Chagiga with regard to Bia Reikonis on the other hand. In two out of three Rambams, he maintains the position that the abstract definition of the Lav, that's what determines whether you get Malkus or not. The fact that you brought about the Averis Lav through a Mice is irrelevant. It's always a Lav Shein Bo Maisa and Lokanov. But what do we do with the Rambam in Ilchus Chometz Umatza? That the Rambam says, Kona Chometz Upesach Ochimtso, he gets Malkus because he brought about the Averis Lav through a Maisa. So the Rav Zichrono Livracha, in a very sharp kind of diuk, found a Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin. And based on this Rambam, the Rav wants to redefine the nature of Bal Yerov Ayimotz. Because the Rambam in Perek Yutes Halacha Dalet defines all the lavim for which you get Malkus. In Halacha Dalet. We're not going to go through all of Halakha Dalet now. That would take about a month. But we'll look at one. Right. So we'll just look at one of them. And that is Sadi, which one was it? Sadi Dalet, I said?
Sadi Tes on the page.
Sadi Tes. Hamakayim Chomes Bershuso. Is you get Malchus. Now, in each case, the Rambam defines the Averis Halav. And the Rav was very medayik in this Rambam. Why doesn't the Rambam say Hamasheh Chometz Bershuso? The way he, if you remember, he saw in Hilchas Chagiga, Hamasheh Bebeso Midah Chasera. He doesn't say Masheh Bebeso Chometz, but rather Mekayim Bebeso.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? Oh. So the Rav made a big deal about this. What's the difference between Masha and Mekayim? And the Rav wanted to suggest that according to the Shitas HaRambam, the Lav of Bal Yerov Ayimotze is not a passive Lav of having Chometz, but rather an active Lav of being Mekayim Chometz. Now, if you have chametz before and you don't destroy it, that's also considered makayim, but we have a technical problem in that, let's say you have a lav sheyesh bo maisa, but you violated the lav without a maisa, so you don't get malkus. But if you were to do a maisa, and through that maisa you violate the lav of Bal Yerov Ayimotze, the Rav says in such a case, that's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Not just because you actively brought about the lav, but because the lav itself in abstract is defined as a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Whereas in the case of Mida and Mishkal, or Bia Reikonis, the lav itself is the Shehiyah, being in, you know, holding on to an imprecise Mishkal, or being in the Azara without a Karbon. In the case of Chometz, the Lav is being Mekayim the Chometz. We're going to see a similar concept in the Ran with regard to Shnei Dvarim Sheinu Bershusa Shalon V'Asan HaKosav Ki'ilein Bershuso, that the Torah is saying, if you want this Chometz, if you want to be Mekayim the Chometz, then you violate the Lav. So let's just summarize what we're saying over here. To answer up the Shagasari's kasha, the Rav is suggesting that although in two out of three Rambams, the lav itself, the tzumo shel lav, is shehiya, is a state of being, which is lav shein bo maisa. And therefore, in those two cases of mida mishkal and the case of bir ekanis, no matter what you do and no matter how you actively violate the lav itself is violated b'shei v'altas because that is the nature of the lav. In chametz, on the other hand, there's a concept called makayim chametz, and being makayim chametz, the isur is being makayim chametz b'shu. So that's an isur with the maisa gavra. It's not an isur de memela.
So is there a difference between makayim and
I guess so, yeah. Laniach means to allow it to be there. And Makaya means to put it into your rishus. So the lav is bringing it into your rishus, being Makaya. And the Rav says that therefore, now we just have to solve a technical problem, make sure that you do a maisa, either by buying chametz or by mechametz your isa, and in both cases you'll get malchus, because then you were Makaya es hachametz b'rishuscha b'kumvase. Now, I know, Natana, you're learning Makis. I don't know if... I don't know if you got as far as Chaf Aleph yet. Okay, so you'll get to Mitzvah to Chaf Aleph, and you'll see there's a sugi called Mekayim Kelayim Bekeren. Now, normally, Mekayim Kelayim Bekeren, you don't get Malkus for, because it's a Lav Sheim Bo Maisa. And Tosus points out, I think, on Daf Dalid in Makis, that even Rabbi Akiva holds that Lav Sheim Bo Maisa ain't Lokan Aleph. Even though Rabbi Akiva has a number of cases where you do get Malkus for Dibur and this and that, but those are exceptions to the rule. The rule is Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Olav. Now you'll see in the Gemara Makis on Daf Chaf Aleph that if someone is Makayim Kelayim Bekum Vaseh, let's say for example he builds a fence around the field of Kelayim, he gets Malkus. So again, what do you see? That the Aver itself is not Shehiyas Kelayim Bisadehu, but rather Makayim Kelayim Bisadehu. Makayim Kelayim is an Avera Bekubase. And therefore, if you do with an action, you'll get Malkus. So again, even if I'm holding like Rabbi Akiva that Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Olav, but here in this case of Makayim Kelayim, where he builds a fence around this field, the Gemara says in Malkus, he does get Malkus. That would, I think, support the Rav's pshat, that if the Avera is not Shehiyah B'Shevi Altus but Makayim, then all we have to do is technically find a way that you could bring about the state of Makayim with an action. Because Makayim, by definition, is active and not passive. Is Rabosa, if this be the case, then let's go back to the Ran. Remember we started with the Ran. And the Ran claims that on a Doraisa level, all you need is bedik and beer, and you are absolutely covered. You'll find a piece of chametz, gluski of feifa, which came down from the Shmei Korah. Says the Ran, you'll destroy it immediately. What about the first 3 days of Pesach? He says, you're not over l'mafreya. So we ask the Kashmir, about that. You are over l'mafreya. You relied on the chazaka, but you were only a shogeg in the fact that this chazaka, it turns out, didn't pan out. It was not reliable. This was a miyud case, and your bedika was not sufficient. So why shouldn't the Torah require bittul? So the answer is that if you assume the Ran holds like the Rambam, that the nature of the Isur Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh is not Shehiyah, but Makayim Chometz, is the Torah says that once you do the bedika, and you destroy all the Chometz that you found, and you fulfilled your mitzvah of Tashbisu, because all the Torah requires is that you do the bdika, then you can no longer be considered a Makayim Chometz Bershuscha. So it's not the way the Aron Gadol wants to understand it, that it's an Avera Bishogek. It's not an Avera at all. Because the Avera here is Makayim Chometz Bershuscha. As long as the Torah sets up the parameters of what you have to do, and you fulfill those duties, those obligations. Namely, you rely on the chazaka because the Torah always says that you can fulfill your obligations by relying on chazaka. You did your bedika, and your bedika inherently stands on the shoulders of a chazaka. So once you fulfilled your obligation, you can no longer be considered a makayim chametz b'shuscha. And this, I think, is meduyik in the language of the Ran, because the Ran at the very end says v'efshal afareish. Shekol shabadik v'lo bitavakach motzah gluski feifa over all of lemafreya. Shiv Kain Afilu Bodak who Makhuy Menatar Levatel. From the fact that Torah says that Bedika is enough, it means that the Torah relies on Chazakah to fulfill your Chiyuv, is then, once you fulfill your Chiyuv, Memela there's no Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze. In other words, the Ran is saying something that the Mefarshim are Tameh about. I mean, alright, you fulfilled your Chiyuv because you relied on Chazakah. But what about Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze? The answer is that Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze is the flip side of Tashbisu. What do we mean? If you didn't fulfill your obligation of Tashbisu, you didn't do what you were obligated to do, then you're Makayim Chometz, and that's the Balirah Bayimotze. You're considered a Makayim Chometz Bershuska, whether it be actively or passively, the Aver itself is the active indication that you want the Chometz. What actively indicates that you want the Chometz? The fact that you didn't fulfill your responsibility of Tashbisu. But since the Torah says Tashbisu requires nothing more than bedik and beer, because the Torah relies on chazakas, and the Torah says that we can assume that you did an adequate bedika. So even if this fluky case happened and it wasn't an adequate bedika, that doesn't undermine your mitzvah of tashbisu.
But how does that fit with the Rambam here? He says, "Ubaapesek v'lo beer elikin yichol beer shusah." How does that fit in? It sounds like over there he's saying you didn't do anything. You still haven't done. That's basically active. Why wouldn't you get an office for that?
Because his body is not moving. So that's a technicality,
or
meaning
like in Mekayim your body's moving?
Yes, if you buy the chametz. So in other words, there's a technical requirement in Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa that you have to do the Maisa. Let's say you have a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa but you did it passively. Right? So let's say I can violate the Shabbos by doing a malacha passively. So I would not get malchus in such a case. Why? Because physically my body is in a state of rest. So it comes out now that the Shagasari is correct. We need two requirements to give you malchus. Number one, the lav per se has to be defined as an active lav. And number two, we need technically a maisa b'kumvase. In the case of chametz, the Shagasari thinks you only have a technical maisa because you purchased chametz, you makamit anisa, but the lav per se is only shahir. What we're saying is the lav per se is active. And now we have a second requirement that you have to actively violate that law. If you may niach chametz b'rishuscha, nehi, it's true, I grant you that you violated the law, but your body technically didn't do a maisa unless you go out and buy a piece of chametz. I think it's a beautiful shtickle Torah. You want to think about it in tunnel, or you want to...
Yeah, I want to...
Give it some more thought, we'll come back to it. I'm not... I'm not running away.
The machlok is determined by the shvua case. If you nishba lechol kikar zu hayom.
That's a complicated sugya. Nishba lechol kikar zu hayom.
Zarkol yam.
Right.
So there it's a lav, which would be she'en bo maisa. But you turn it into a maisa.
Right.
That was the case I was trying to give you to in the...
Right, so you have to know
so that, I mean,
what lo yachal dvaro is. Is lo yachal dvaro mean that you machal your dibur or that you are passively...
I'm saying if you make a neder, if you make a shvua, right.
The Rambam listed under Kuflam and Zayin under... Machal nidra. Yeah, there.
So again, I'm not holding in the sugya shvur, but you're right, that sugya has to be taken under advisement from the perspective of this discussion. I would present to you, again intuitively, that the lav of shvur is an active lav.
The Rambam listed and wrote in one of the analogies.
Right, but I'm saying...
I'm just saying that if...
It happens to be there's only one case where it could actually...
Right.
But it happens to be every other case is the exception. A normal letter is the exception to the rule that you get malchus.
Okay. And say the reshut.
That's the way the Rambam would say it. According to what we're saying here, but in the same way chametz is the real thing is to buy it on chametz, and the exceptions is to leave it around.
Well, again, I don't know real or not. Well, obviously, it's uncommon, but yet that's the lav that's the lav sheyesh bo maisa.
That's the ikur that the Torah is talking.
Correct.
Lav sheyesh bo maisa is what the Torah is talking about. Lav sheyesh bo maisa is the exception. You don't get is an exception to the rule of malchus.
Correct. So if you destroy that kikar that you took a shvut to eat, that's considered a chilul nidro b'kumvaseh. Again, the kumvase is secondary, because that's the technicality, that you have to do something active, so you destroyed it by throwing it into the Yamamelach. But what you need is that the lav per se be defined actively, and then I would have to say that shvua is chilul dvara. Otherwise, it would be a lav shein bo mais. So this is all based on the thesis of the Shagasari, which I think is a very solid thesis, that you have to define the lav in abstract terms as an active lav. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. Now, once you check off that box, and it's an active lav in definition, then you have to check off the second box that you actively violated it. You know, you can't do it passively. All right. What I want to do in the 12 minutes that we have left is discuss a different Ran. The Ran, and this is a whole new sugya that maybe we'll finish, maybe we won't, but at least get a start. The question is why the Mishnah used the word R, which, as you all know, is a two-blot sugya in Hashkafa about, you know, using a Lashon Nekiya and a lot this, that, and the other thing. But we're interested in the Ravid. The Ravid is not happy with the sugya, so to speak. I don't mean that literally, but meaning you take the sugya literally and you think that the word R has no halachic significance. It's only teaching us what we call hilchos deos, how a person should behave. The Ravid, to my knowledge, is the only Rishon that throws in a halachic consideration and a justification for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's choice of the word R. It's got an afkamina lahalacha in hilchos bedika. It's not just the way you should act in terms of your ben adam lachavero and the way you should speak. So what's the Shitas HaRaivit? And the Raivit is very complex in the original. Maybe we'll get to go through it. You have to know a lot of Tum Vitara. But the Ran quotes the Raivit, and this is a few lines up from the bottom of your page, on the Aleph Amid Aleph in the Riv. The Mishum Haki Nakat Or Lomar, three lines up from the bottom, Shebetchilas HaLaila Sheyesh Bo Or Adayin, it's still light out, Roy Livdok. So that's what the word R is. Now, I want to emphasize or focus our attention on the two words, Shebetchilas Halayla. What does that mean, Tchilas Halayla? So the Magen Avraham, and I think this is the Minhag HaGaon, and to some extent it's the Minhag in Yerushalayim. I don't think they accepted the Gra, hook, line, and sinker, but at least partially, is to light before Knesset Halayla, what we call in our lingo, Bein HaShmashos. I'm sorry, did I say to light?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a correct that error. That's for Hanukkah. It's true in Hilchos Hanukkah, but I mean to say to be both. Right. It's also the Shita Sekhar. The Mishnah Brura, however, but again, it's way before the Mishnah Berurah. This is the Elio Rabbah and the Chok Yaakov, all at the beginning of Tuf Nun Aleph. They say that immediately after Tzeis, there's still some light out on the horizon. So I was wondering, what halacha is being formulated over here? According to the Magen Avraham and the Gaon, which I think is also the Shita Sabach, I don't know, you have the Bach, I don't have it here, but I think it's also the Shita Sabach, there's a brand new halacha being formulated, because normally, if you have a mitzvah Sheva Laila, you want to wait until Laila. Vadai Laila. You don't want to start with Sveikos. So you're going to have to say that, you know, Midaraisa bit of Amasagi, Bidikas only to Rabbana, and therefore it's Bein HaShmashos. That itself needs a little bit of explanation. Why would we fulfill the mitzvah in Bein HaShmashos, which is a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila? That itself is Sarki. But let's just focus on the sheet of the other poskim that we're talking about Knisas HaLaila. But the Mishnah encourages us to fulfill Bedik at the earliest possible moment that the night begins. And that's indicated by the word R. It's true that the Kochavim are out, but there's still some light on the horizon. So I thought that what we're seeing here really in the Mishnah, according to Rov Poskim in the Ravid, is basically nothing new. if you pardon the expression. What do I mean by nothing new? Something very old. Something very well trodden that applies to all mitzvahs. If I tell you, do the mitzvah at the first opportune moment that you can, what am I basically saying to you? What principle am I basically applying? Okay, or that's in a losa sese, but in an essay say zrizim akdim lemitzvahs, right? No, I'm not saying it's a mitzvah. I'm saying, but that would enhance your mitzvah. But that principle would apply to any mitzvah. You know, if I were to tell you that, you know, you should shake the lulav, you know, immediately with daybreak, or eat your matzah immediately after tzeis, I'd just be simply telling you what applies to any mitzvah. Zrizim akdim lemitzvahs. And in fact, the Gemara Daf Dalet has a whole long sugya about zrizim akdim lemitzvahs. The Gemara wants to know why don't I be bodek at the betafra because zrizim akdim lemitzvahs. Or, for example, the fact that you shouldn't sit down and start learning from the time that the mitzvah comes about, right? I think I have that on your page here. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, we learned the Zizim Akdomar, and then Bishosh, the Gemara says, Amar Abai Ilko Chaitzur Mirabonon, lo lift up Be'idni Be'urta, let's say he'll get involved in a sugya, and he won't fulfill the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz, immediately at the beginning of the Laila when it's still R out. He'll have forfeited the Kiyum of Zrizim Akdim limits. But I'll tell you what you have to ask yourself over here. What new halach is being formulated? The Mishnah goes out of its way to add the word R, says the Rav, to teach you this halach. And the Gemara Amar Abaye, if we shouldn't get started in learning because you might not fulfill the mitzvah. But you have the whole night to do the mitzvah. Elwan's reason makdim lemitzvahs. So, do we find this elsewhere? Do we find in any other mitzvah that the Mishnah goes out of its way to tell you, you know, arli arli tesvav auklin asamata, or boker ar v'tikus halula, you know, and to go ahead and therefore say that you shouldn't get involved in any learning when you have a 12-hour period ahead of you, because you know the impression you get here is that what I call in brisket terminology a din misuyam. There's some new halach that's been formulated here. So bishleim according to the Gaon, and it comes before the Gaon in the Magen Avraham. It's a new halacha. You're talking about ben hashmashos. Again, I don't understand that halacha too well. So in the Hari Kedem, Rav Shurkin quotes the Rav. And I remember this from the first shiur that I heard in Pesachim from the Rav. I was okay to hear this. That the Rav said that apparently Bedikas Chometz is not just the mitzvah saseh. So let's say, if you did biur, excuse me, if you did bittul already, midaraisa bittul baal masagi, so then the Rabbanah required Bedika. The Rabbanah not going to rely on bittul. So that's a mitzvah's aseh of tashbisu. Maybe not midaraisa because he did bittul, but at least midarabanan it's a mitzvah of tashbisu. And what will be the proof that bedikas chametz is a mitzvah's aseh? The bracha. We don't find a bracha on, for example, bedikas simani kashrus. You can't eat the meat unless you check the animal before you shechted it. And check and determine that it has simani kashrus. There's no bracha on bedikas simani kashrus because that's only a lav. You're avoiding the iser neveah treifa. But bedikas chametz is not just a lav. It's a kiyum essay. Midoraisa, let's say, if you didn't do bittul, or midorabanan if you did bittul. I think that's how the Rambam. How the Rambam starts Perik Beis Milchus Chametz Umatzah. Mitzvahs Esei Men HaTorah LaHashpis HaChametz. Umay Hashbasa Shomer Torah. He says Shivata HaChametz Melibo Umidivrei Sofrim LaChateis Achar HaChametz. So this means Divrei Sofrim in Halacha Gimel is going back on Halacha Beis, who we Mayash Basa Amura B'Torah, which is going back on Halacha Aleph, which is Mitzvah Semen Torah. So it doesn't surprise us at all that there's a bracha on Bedikas Chomet. So that I would have said without the Rav. What's the Rav's breakthrough over here? The Rav wants to say that Bedikas Chomet has another dimension to it. Tzveidin. It's not just the kium of Tashbisu, albeit Midrabban if he already did Bittul, but it's also an Iser. There's an Iser to allow your bias to be in a state of guilty bunk. To have a house without bedika is a violation of an Iser, Midrabban. And to demonstrate this or illustrate this, the Rav quoted the Mishnah later on. I think the Mishnah Daf Yud, check me out, that the Mishnah says that Imlo Bodek V'Tokha Moed is Bodek Li'Akra Moed. Now, we don't make a bruch on a Bedika L'Akra Moed. So the Rav says, why not? Because that Bedika is not a cue of Tashbisu. It's too late for Tashbisu. The Moed is already behind you. El what Shemiyov Li'Akhlo, because Chomet Shavu Lava Pesach, that's already Shemiyov Li'Akhlo is an Isur. And if it's an Issa, you don't make a bracha on it. So the Rav used that to demonstrate that Bedikas Chomet sometimes, at least, you have to grant me, is only avoiding an Issa. It's Himonis Me'avera. It's not a Kumva Set. The Rav went a step further to say that not only in that fluky case where you didn't make a Bedika before the Yitzchagin, and you mentioned, but even when you do make a Bedika B'Shaito, it has that second element to it. In other words, it's not that Bedika L'Akar Moed is a new institution. But Faken, Bedika L'Akar Moed means you drop the Kiyum essay of Bedika and all you're left with is the second dimension. But every Bedika, when you do it Bismano, is a twofold mitzvah. It's number one, a mitzvah's essay in the positive sense, which generates a bracha, it's part of Tashbisu. And number two, it's an Isur, because you're not allowed to leave a bias without Bedika. So the Rav wanted to explain that that's why there's a new halacha here, that you have to do the bedikah at the first possible moment. Not because of Zrizim Akdimim L'Mitzvahs. Not as a general halacha, that whenever you do a mitzvah, fulfill it in its right time, in its perfect time. But because every moment that goes by, and you didn't implement the bedikah, you violate this Isur that the Rabbanan created of Shehiyas Bayis Bilti Bodek. That you possess a house without bedikah. So I was thinking, and I'm not sure if I heard this from the Rav or not, that would explain the sheet of the Magen Avraham and the Gaon, that you should be bodik bein hashmashos. Why bein hashmashos? I mean, why get involved in a suffix? So I would say the following. If Bedika was only one-dimensional, namely it was only a Kiyum essay, so why should we make that essay at a time which is doubtful? But since there's another dimension, according to the Rav's breakthrough, of Bedika, B'Torah's Isur, not to be Masha Bayis, then now the halacha goes the other way around. If you have a point of Bein Hashmashos, and it's a suffix, maybe it's already Laila, and you might be violating the Isur of Shehiyas Bayis Bilti Baduk, so you want to be voting there. Maybe the other postgame didn't go that far, as to say that because of the Iser Shehiyah, you have to go as far as to be Bodek, even Bevein HaShmash, which is a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila, but certainly you want to be Bodek at the first, earliest opportune moment, namely, immediately after Tzeisach Kochavim, so you don't violate the Iser of Shehiyah's bias built in Bodek. So Mirza Shem, believe it or not, I want to just add one more piece to this when we get a chance, but I thought we ran out of time, so we'll stop here.